You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. Took a day off again. Back situation. I am back. We are back. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. It's been a little sparse this week, thanks to a bad back. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And it is the mailbag day, so we are going to delve into that. I do want to say I'm not going to attempt really to make up the episodes this week. I am going to try to do another post-game episode on Saturday. That went really well. When I kind of worked out a lot of my post-game stuff. If it's a noon game, I think I can make that work, usually. Anything after a noon game, maybe not. But that's what we're going to try to do. It's not necessarily making things up. It's just hopefully more so adding. But right now, it looks like making something up. We have a ton of questions. I will also add, from now on, I'm probably only taking questions on Twitter because we're getting too many questions. I don't have time to go and search around Instagram, my work email, all that kind of stuff. So if you can get it in on Twitter, that's really the only place that we're going to check, at least in season. Because I think I got some others sparsed around. I don't remember where. There's a lot to get through anyway. So my apologies if I'm not getting to your question. But we're going to try to do our best to get through everybody here, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Grade for each position group and which team not named Ohio State concerns you most. I'm going to save that second question because someone else asked in the leaders and best, I believe. Maybe it's in the Victor's Valiant. Next question answers that question. But grade position for each group. For quarterback, I would give, I'm going to give it an A-. Unfortunately, if it was Cade, considering how he looked in game one and briefly in game two, it would have been a C. Maybe a C- there. Brought way up by an A++ by Jay. Jay, I think he's been amazing. And thus far, I think that position group looks good. Wide receivers, I'll give a B. I think that it's looked pretty good in the early going for the most part. There were some drops in game one. Again, for the people who want to act like I was just being a Cade hype man when it comes to that, I thought by watching twice that there were some drops. And then if you go back and look at PFF, they also have drops. Look at that. Running back, I'm going to give a B, maybe a B-. It's not as explosive as I would like as far as there hasn't been a lot of the home runs hit. That said, I mean, that's because we're grading on a curve, including last year. We know what they're capable of, and it hasn't quite gotten to that point yet. And granted, they haven't really tried, per se. It's like they haven't really been hammering things home the way that they did last year, where it's like, you know, Blake Cormel and carrying for like 12 times. That's not necessarily going to be a recipe for getting that. So, you know what, I'll give him a B+. Let's change that. Offensive line, them I will give a C. I think that they have been mostly A-, B+. But because every now and again, there's just that one bad play. It's like one out of every 10 plays is bad. You know, that's where it gets bad. I'm just repeating myself. We're feeling it today. We're at end of week. I wish the game was... I woke up today being like, I wish the game was today. I'm ready for it. I'm not ready for these middle days here. Defensive line. I'll give the interior an A. I think that they have done really good. I'll give the edge rushers a B+. I think that it's been... It was an A++ coming out of week one. The last 2 weeks haven't been quite as high. They're more of a B-. But that's my one concern. We'll get to that, I'm sure, later here. Linebackers, I'm going to give an A to a solid A. I think they've been great. I'm going to go a whole secondary and include the safeties and the corners and give them an A+. I think that they have been phenomenal thus far. So, special teams, I'll just do a blanket there, and they're also an A+. It's been great. Josh Barr at Jadicky, are you ready to think Penn State is a scarier opponent than MSU this season based on last weekend? 100%. 100%. Now, I don't know. Auburn might be in disarray. Penn State also may have figured some stuff out with Nick Singleton, offensive line. You can't sit there. I can't sit there and look at two games and say, the last two games and say, okay, it's 100% fixed, but I can say it's a trend. And they've done the same thing to the last two teams. I definitely think that Penn State is the team that concerns me the most outside of Ohio State going forward. I think that there is certainly a chance that they have taken a big step forward. They do have questions. I think if memory serves, the secondary hasn't been phenomenal. I mean, as far as the pass defense is concerned. I mean, Joey Porter Jr. is a stud, but teams have been able to pass on them. It's been kind of a little bit of a bend, don't break defense. We'll see if this Penn State team ends up being more like it was against Purdue, or if it's like these last two games. But they are definitely something to behold at the moment. My brother, Metal Michael Wolf at MWolf21. How much does the playbook open up versus Maryland? Who would you like to see have a really good game? Answering the latter first, I'd really like to see Andrell Anthony break out. But you know who I more so than that? I want to see Blake Corum go nuts. He hasn't gotten to play against Maryland since he's been on campus. You know, and he's a Maryland guy, or at least he went to high school in Maryland. That's who I want to see bust out, because he didn't, you know, they didn't play Maryland in 2020, his freshman year. Last year he was injured. I want to see him be able to go off. But Andrell Anthony, just because we've been kind of waiting for it as well. And I mean, obviously, pick two edge rushers. Those are the other ones that I'd want to see do it. As far as the playbook opening up, I think it'll open up a little bit. I don't think it's necessarily going to go nuts, right? And I think it's already pretty complicated, right? I think everything in the arsenal from last year's on the table, and I think they've got extra from there. I think that they'll be saving those for Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State. I mean, that's just generally how it goes, but. You know, what they're doing is they're taking the plays that were installed in the preseason, which ones of those work best to defeat the Maryland defense from what we've seen, and then they'll go from there. All right, let's continue. I didn't see, I'm just double checking here. I think I might have, are we missing somebody? That would be disappointing. That would be really disappointing. Hold on a second. We just got to do a little scroll here through. I put everything in a spreadsheet here. But everything goes into Twitter. All right. We're missing one of our leaders and best. I don't like it. I'm sure you don't like it, but that's what it is. That's where we're at. All right. Here we go. KRTF Farmer KD4, how does Michigan's defense do against its first big test on Saturday? Over under 23.5 points allowed. I mean, we'll see. I've got Michigan. I think that Michigan can hold them to 17. They allowed them 19 on the road last year. I do think the defense is better overall. They have to remember Maryland's been pretty good. I mean, like 31 against Buffalo, 34 against SMU. I think Michigan's defense is better than any of those teams. I think they'll be able to cut it in half. It's on the road for Maryland. I think that Michigan will be able to do pretty good. Obviously, they play games for the reason. I could be completely wrong. I think that it's going to be a situation where it's going to look tough, and I think Michigan will make opportune plays because we've kind of seen that. You know, even when, you know, you saw like UConn crossed the 50 finally. The starters also haven't given up any points yet. But, you know, there'll be an adversity. They'll give up some points. I'm doing an over-under 17.5. That's what I think. And I think that they'll manage to keep them at about 17. I think I predicted 48-17 in the predictions that'll come out on Wolverine's Wire tomorrow. Brandon at Brandon S616. He's finally back. It's been a while. Gave up Twitter, but not the podcast. Do you think the JJ hasn't seen a great D yet narrative is overblown? He's been practicing against last year's D. This year's D played in 12 games last year, including Georgia. I do think it's overblown. I think in general this Michigan thing is overblown because pretty much all of these players played last year. And they played against Ohio State. They played against Georgia. They played against Penn State. They played against Michigan State. I'd have to look at a participation report, but I would imagine pretty much all of them played against those teams, right? So I think that they'll be fine. It's not like those first three games, that's the only teams that they got to see, and JJ included. This is the first time JJ will get like extended action against, you know, and a team can very specifically game plan for him for an entire game. But that's, but you are right. They also, I asked Jesse Binter, how much do you guys go good on good? And he said, we do it every day. Like, that's something that we do, is we get an opportunity to go up against our offense every day. And so that means that he gets to go up against the defense every day. I think it really is an iron sharpens iron type of thing. Now, for those of you who don't know, that is not a normal customary thing. Teams don't often necessarily do a good on good type of deal every day against each other. That's generally not how that works. But I think it's cool that Michigan's done it. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Is the game plan on defense for this weekend the same as OSU last year? No, because it's got to be a little bit different. Maryland's certainly going to be different. I'm sure it will be a little bit similar, but you also have to worry about Tagovailoa running. But I think you're probably not completely off, because right now Hemby's been running really well for Maryland. They've got copious receivers who are adequate. I like their offensive line as far as what I see right now. I think it's a tough offense to go up against, but I do think that they'll be able to keep them at bay. And, you know, I think if, here's the thing. I think if Buffalo can hold them to 31, I think if SMU can hold them to 34, I imagine Michigan can hold them to half of what SMU holds them to. You know, that's the way I look at it. All right. We are going to continue on here momentarily, but before we do, listen, it's not your fault. As men age, our body naturally loses free testosterone, the man hormone. Happens to every man and can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic and active. You want more energy? To counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get you better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man you really want to be. Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Because Nugenix Total T boosts free testosterone that aging process robs, you'll feel stronger, leaner, and more energy, and with more drive, more passion too. Your partner will certainly notice the difference. Nugenix Total T is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Now get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text COLLEGE to 231231. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape fast, absolutely free. Text COLLEGE to 231231. Text COLLEGE to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at Nugenix.com/terms. All right, let's continue on. I swear, I can't read today. I am in late season form, not early season form. I think it's the back, you know, the back pain and being on like 800 milligrams of ibuprofen for like the last 4 days constantly. You know, I'm just like a sleepy human incapable of reading things on a page. I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. Jim at Jim in the North. Will we beat Maryland by 21? What's your over-under? I want to give a shout-out to Todd at Toddy Brown Jr., who asked if Michigan would be able to cover the 17 there. I do think so. I this happens every year. I mean, I'm guilty of it as well. Ultimately, Michigan has got more better players. Granted, it could end up being a game like Rutgers last year, where Michigan looks like it's cruising, kind of gives up in the second half, and it gets a little interesting. That can always happen, or, you know, Maryland can figure out some stuff. Maryland can make a handful of big plays and turn the thing on its head. I don't see it happening because it just Michigan's too deep. Ultimately, it's better and faster. It's going to be, at worst, the third best team that Maryland will see all year. Most likely either the first or second. So I just don't think that Maryland has the horses to really keep it close. It's one of those things where it's like, it's kind of the opposite of what I actually said to a Maryland site, where I said, oh, third and fourth quarter, I just don't think it's going to, think Michigan's going to be kind of unused to playing deep into a game because they've only been playing half. Honestly, chances are it's going to, I think it will be over by halftime. And then third and fourth quarter, it just gets bad for Maryland. But we'll see. More sacks against bad opponents. Is it time to start sweating? These guys were blowing Washington off the ball by this time last year. It was intermittent. I mean, Washington was a good game. I don't believe NIU was like a crazy. I'd have to look again. They had one sack in the season opener. Washington ended up being a good game. NIU, I think, was kind of mediocre. Rutgers was pretty mediocre when it came to sacks. Wonder if I have this up real fast. Let's see if I can compare, because I know that is certainly what was happening when it came to Aiden and everything. So just comparatively, I mean, they're still sitting better. They'll still be sitting better next week if they had no sacks than they were last year. One sack against Western Michigan, four against Washington, one against Northern Illinois, one against Rutgers, and then six against Wisconsin in week five. So that's when it really kind of started. But then the next 2 weeks, it was still just one. I mean, just reading down the list, 1-1-3-2-7 against Penn State, two against Maryland, four against Ohio State, one against Iowa, none against Georgia, as far as sacks were concerned. But I mean, I like a lot of what I've seen. I felt like last week was a step back. I thought they still played pretty well in week two. I think that Hawaii got rid of the ball really fast. Now, UConn didn't do that, which makes it a little bit... I'm not going to say I'm not concerned. I am slightly concerned. But I'm not... Michigan is not historically per se, but it's taken a minute to get the sacks going. 2016, I think, was kind of similar. By the time that Penn State came to town week five, it was pretty crazy. Or week four, I guess. Never mind. It was 4-4-4-6-2. They were just going nuts. 2017, they were just going nuts. 2018, 2-2-2-4. So, I mean, they can get better. You know, you see it. I'm not super concerned yet, is basically what I'll say there. Did you watch Andor? I did. I was kind of underwhelmed, to be honest. I thought that the first three episodes could have been half of one episode. So we'll see where it goes. I would have liked Mon Mothma in it a little bit earlier, but I mean, they're clearly building towards some stuff, but I was kind of underwhelmed with the first three episodes. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. I read an interesting comment from EJ Holland. He said a recruit was media trained, and I did read that on his board. Do you know how or where these dudes would get such training? I mean, it could just be inside their high school program. I didn't really take that as necessarily like he went to someone to get trained. I mean, any PR program could probably do that, but I just think it was more of like this dude knew how to handle the media. You know, you would say the same thing about in bad ways about Donovan Peoples-Jones, you'd say it in good ways about even though he didn't stay at this level, a guy like Jabril Peppers, who very early in his career was just very knew what to say at the right time, that kind of thing. Second question, Michigan is number one in the country in points per game, yet some pundits are still selfishly concerned with how they scored. My question is, can you please make it stop? Listen, man, I've been trying, but, you know, it's... You face the schedule you face. Michigan did what it's supposed to do. I don't understand why it's become a thing, right? It would certainly be... Michigan can only lose. Michigan is set up for lose-lose scenarios, right? If Michigan would have, like... If it would have been, like, 35-0 or something like that. Like, Georgia scored... Was, like, 33-0 against Furman. If that was Michigan, it would be like, ooh, they're not that good. let's just face it, they're not that good. You know, before media people certainly nationally would be like, well, you know, Georgia got their backs upset. Okay, well, Michigan did too. Michigan won these games by 50 points, essentially, while playing 101 players. I don't get it. Jacob Hemminger at Hemminger Jacob, what are your thoughts on the pass rush? I know sacks are sexy, but to me, the Russ is ranked super high in pressure rate, resulting in top three completion percentage allowed, just 44%. To me, incompletions can be just as good as sacks most of the time. What are your thoughts here? I wholeheartedly agree. I do want to see if I have PFF up right now. If I do, then we'll take a look at some stuff here real fast. But and you know what? The back end, honestly, like I feel like the back end is something to also essentially give credit to. I think the back end has been good. Even when some of these guys have had time, no one's open. Now, not like these teams have been phenomenal. All right, I think PFF might have logged me out here. Let's see. All right, no pass rush here. All right. So, I'm just looking at Michigan's players in the pass rush. I mean, a lot of these players are the ones that you want. Michael Barrett, Mike Sainristil, Mike Morris, Jalen Harrell, Yabi Oki. By the way, someone had asked if I could clarify. He changed his last name to Oki. So Yabi Oki now. So no more Yabi Onoma, Yabi Oki. That happened right before the last game. Is when he announced that. As far as overall with the pass rush, I mean, Michigan is not as high as it was after week one when it was up there, but it is still 38th. It's ranked, according to PFF, 74.1. We'll see if, you know, that goes forward. I mean, guys, here's another reason I'm not concerned. Someone like David Ojabo didn't become David Ojabo until week four. And Aiden Hutchinson had a lot more playing time than all of these other guys that are getting to play. It's just going to take them a minute to, I think, get their bearings. And I think last two teams saw what happened in week one and like figured some things out. I think that's part of it. I do think with you that the incompletions can also be as good as sacks. And a lot of the times we've seen some really rushed throws. Also, a lot of people seem to be upset about the lack of touches and looks for Andrell. Is this something that's an issue? I think with Bell back, there are just so many other weapons. He might just be getting lost in the shuffle a tad, but he'll still get his throughout the year. Here's the thing. These guys have only played half games, essentially. And then on top of it, they are splitting it with 18 other receivers, essentially. And so, I'm not concerned at all. I do know that Jim Harbaugh said in front of the whole team, and this is from an inside info source, he said in front of the whole team before the last game, like, Andrell's about to pop off this week. Didn't happen. So, now, I mean, they're not going to force it into him. That's one of the things. So, we'll just, I think it's just one of those things to monitor, and I think eventually he'll get his, right? Not everyone's going to have big game all the time. And some people say he disappeared after the MSU game. We got to remember he got injured early in the whole Indiana game. So that was part of it. The next game. So Michigan has a lot of weapons. Not everyone is going to be able to be a star. I think Andrell will still be a star this year. But right now, Ronnie Bell and Roman Wilson, get those two guys the ball, man. They've been so good. Jacob Chavaria at Jacob 172-139.50. What kickoff time do you prefer? Why does Ohio State always get the late ones? I think Ohio State tends to be the most viewed team in college football with Michigan right behind them. I prefer noon. Every time. If I could have it at 9 a.m., I would have it at 9 a.m. because I am a selfish media person. Because if it's a noon kick, I'm working. I'm at the stadium by 9. I am working immediately. And I don't stop working until midnight, 1 o'clock. So I want noon. Imagine that gets pushed back anytime you have a later start. I cut myself off from working after the Hawaii game at 5 a.m. Got about 3 hours of sleep, woke up, grabbed my iPad and kept going. So prefer earlier. As far as Ohio State getting the late ones, it's just because they're, that's part of it. You know, that's their whole deal of being, most viewed team. Does the team have the input of time? on the time, what's the acceptable age to bring your kid to a game? Could not ask, answer the last one. No idea. I mean, I think you could bring like a 5-year-old, I would imagine. I don't know. I don't think the team has input at all. I don't. Except for they can decline night games later in the season, of course. JT, I've vaunted JT. What are your keys of success for Michigan's defense going against its first Big Ten challenge? Make Talia Tagovailoa uncomfortable in the pocket while keeping contained, not allowing him out of it. Blanket those guys and confuse them. Confuse Talia on what he's seeing defensively and trap him. Blanket the receivers and make sure fire tackles. I think it's that easy. And it's not easy, but you know what I'm saying? Fellow Patrick Barron, untrustworthy finder. I don't know how to state that. Michigan's armchair quarterback at armchair QB _UM. What's your level of concern for the O-line so far this season? Haven't looked elite against lower competition, but sometimes it takes a few games and full health to find the groove. Also, who would play Isaiah Hole in a movie? I would say the same thing probably as I said this to my best friend. I would say the same thing as Jim Harbaugh. Brad Pitt was obsessed with Brad Pitt in the 2000s. If not Brad Pitt, George Clooney. I don't look like either of them. I think that I would pick that, what's his name? I've been told Sarah doesn't think so, which is frustrating to me. But I've been told by multiple people I look like that Bridgerton dude, the Rene Jean Page or whatever. Even like my cousin sent me a picture who I know, you know, super close with. She's like, "You found your doppelganger." Every time someone says it, I send a picture of him to Sarah and I'm like, "See?" And she's like, "No." I get sad. Anyway, the actual question, not concerned yet for the O-line. It's been fixable things. It's been little blips on the radar. No one's been wholesale bad. These are things that I think it's just playing time will solve it. And I think that it's hard to keep the focus against low level opponents. And I think it'll be different. Now that you're getting a Big Ten play when they have to be a little bit better. I think that's where playing Washington last year was good in week two, because I think they're a little bit more focused. What I'm seeing, the mistakes they're making seem to be a lack of focus. It's not a lack of, it's not an incapability by the players. You know, they don't have a player out there that's like, that dude needs to not be playing. It's that dude's good 90% of the time, but that one play here or there, not good. You know what I mean? Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore, how thankful are you that Iowa is now at noon? Well, there, I am so happy. I am still debating if I want to try to come back at that night after the Iowa game. Probably not, because it's a Fox game, so it still won't end until, I still won't leave the stadium until, well, I will not even leave the stadium, leave the press conference till 5. But I am very thankful it's at noon, personally. And it's great for Michigan that it's at noon. Zan at Zanland. If Chad Powers was on this Michigan team, where would he rank on the QB depth chart? Number 2 behind JJ. That's right. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go find it on ESPN's YouTube page. Eli Manning dressing up as a walk-on and trying out for Penn State. Andrew at Engineer 97, who should be QB2 now that Cade is hurt, in your opinion, and why? I don't really have an opinion, honestly. Just give me Davis Warren or Alan Bowman. I don't really care either way. Alan Bowman, I thought, had a really nice, that flip to Leon Franklin was really nice. They really like Davis Warren. Alan Bowman's got a lot more experience. Do you feel like he can probably handle being in a bigger game, given that he was a starter for a couple years? So that would be that. I mean, I had him as being the starter going into last year, but what do I know? See? I told you, I'm not always right. I was like banging that drum. It was so off. He might be fourth string on this team. UM Clips and Bolts at U of M Clips Bolts. Last week was nothing but bubble screens and a couple 10-yard routes. Will Maryland be the coming out party, or will we just do bare minimum playbook exposure as long as we win comfortably? I think that that was in large part because they were just trying to keep everything in front of them. They weren't going to let JJ beat them deep. So Michigan was like, we're going to take whatever you give us. And we're going to make that work. I think it just depends on what Maryland does. Michigan will take whatever you give them, and they've got the horses to make that work. He says, P.S., are you going to hop on the Modern Warfare 2 beta at all this weekend? I'm not a Call of Duty person. I'm sure my roommate will, because he's a big Call of Duty person. I'm not much of a playing. The only playing online I've done, and I haven't done it in like 2 years, is in a large part because the internet works horribly upstairs. Star Wars Battlefront 2. That's the only online that I do. I barely play video games. I have a very ill-used PS5, which I've had since November, two weeks after they came out. I mean, I've played my share. I've gone through games, but I haven't played as much as I did like my PS4 Pro, to be honest. All right, we're going to continue on. We've got plenty more. I reset the clock here, so this is going to be a more than 30-minute episode. I think it probably already is. Yeah, we already are. We're just doing it this way because such is life. Anyway, BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game that you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we've got so many more yet still, but we're going to kind of rapid fire this because, I completely accidentally put one of our Victor's Valiant down in the bottom here. Now that I'm just scrolling here. Sorry about that, Adam Kasel. We'll lead off with you. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. Will Jay Harbaugh's name be mentioned in connection with head coaching jobs this offseason? I'd imagine at some point he's got to, right? And I mean, another guy named Harbaugh was an amazing special teams coach and became an NFL head coach. I got to imagine at some point someone's got to be like, listen, that guy's been awesome at Michigan this entire time. So I don't know why that hasn't happened yet. And I do think he's been awesome pretty much the entire time. And he's an amazing recruiter as well. He might be Michigan's best recruiter. He doesn't get enough credit for that. After the non-con portion of the schedule, who are your O&D MVPs? Offensive MVP, I'm going to give to Roman Wilson. I think that, you could give it to Blake Corum too. I mean, he's had more touchdowns clearly after the last game. But Roman, that dude's just been out of his mind so far. I think part of me wants to give it to Mike Morris or Chris Jenkins on defense, but I'm going to give it to Mike Sainer still. He's been awesome. And I know he's not listening to this. Bryce Maritch has got to be feeling like, hey, because he was like, he said on the sidelines, he's like, I think that he might be Michigan's best player. And I was like, you got to give it to like Mike Morris or Chris Jenkins. Look at how those guys have been doing. Junior Colson. And here I am after saying like, you're wrong. As he was like, I think, you're probably right. And here I am doing it. Anyway, which player has exceeded your expectations on both sides of the ball? Makari Page on defense for sure. And I would say Roman Wilson actually, because I thought he was going to be good, but I mean, I've been saying Devontae Smith on the sidelines, like that's the kind of player he is. I'm going to stay with that. All right, let's move on. Harry Dieters at Harry Dieters. This Maryland game is feeling more and more like a trap game. Am I wrong for feeling this way? No, because I think pretty much all of us in the Scott Bell roundtable had Maryland as the trap game this year. There's really no others on the schedule that is as trappy as this particular game. Indiana could end up being that ultimately. I mean, they're 3-0 right now. They beat Cincinnati. Suddenly things are looking different down in Hoosier land. But I do think that this Maryland game is the trap game of the year. So kind of like Rutgers was last year for Michigan. So Kevin at Big Kev Hale. Slightly off subject, but are we really thinking that Michigan State game will be a night game? What do you think slash know about this happening? Chris Ballas has said, I can say this, that he put it on his board, but he also put it on Twitter, that the because it's on, you know, the police have pulled the permits and done all of that stuff preparing for it to be a night game. So it's probably going to be a night game. Credit to Chris Ballas over at On3. Subscribe over there if you like good, fun message board and good people. More than I could go for on for an hour for how great I think that their work and they are as people. But yeah, he's been saying that for a while. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. Since it's Maryland week, I was thinking of Donovan's game against them last year. Which freshman do you think could have a coming out party like that at some point this year? Someone that takes their first opportunity and wows everyone against a division opponent, I mean. Will Johnson is always on the table, of course. I wouldn't be surprised to see Derek Moore be that guy. I mean, again, we're talking defensive guys there. Offensively, I mean, C.J. Stokes would be one, or any of those three receivers, but I mean, I'm not... But honestly, it could be Colston Loveland. I think Colston Loveland is really... He's really in that place where he's... I mean, he's going to... We're seeing more and more of him every week. So, and you'll likely see more and more of him every week as well. Co-Captain Cardi at co_CaptainCardi. Is there any indication that the defense will prioritize working on no-huddle offensive attacks? That was one of the few flaws last year, and it showed several times versus, you know, the litany of teams he puts out there. I'm sure they have worked on it. We've asked them and they've said they've worked on it. They got better after the MSU game. It wasn't like he mentioned PSU and then the CFP. I mean, they got better at it than they after the MSU game. But yeah, I mean, they have prioritized it. They prioritized it after that and they'll continue to do that. Reggie at ZOK82, thoughts on Orgy getting meaningful snaps as a short yardage back? Or do we lock a running back for that? I like that idea, actually, but we haven't really seen him necessarily have that same... Like, I asked Mike Hart... I actually didn't write about this, but I asked Mike Hart. I was like, are you actually, you know, much made about losing Hassan Haskins as a short yardage guy? Are you actually trying to find a guy that has his skill set? And he's like, no, not really. Like, we played everybody's strengths. If they stay ahead of the sticks, they don't really need one. And I think that... If the offensive line blocks well, they also don't necessarily need a guy that's going to fall forward. Explosive guys can do the job just as well. It's just a different style. But that's an interesting idea. I'd be curious to see it. Jamie Menifee at Jamie_Menifee. Now we get to see what this defense is all about. Defensive player of the game, McGregor. Do you see us running more and controlling the clock? I do and hope to. They haven't been stellar at stopping the run, Maryland. I mean, I want to see JJ pass. But, yeah, we'll see. That's all I got to it as far as that's concerned. Chris DeBoer at CDeebs38. How much wood could a tuck chuck if a wood tuck could chuck wood? It was hilarious. I'm not going to lie. It was hilarious. I was sitting down here in the studio watching. I got a big 50-inch screen, literally right off screen here. I had that game here. I got another 40-inch screen down here, and I'm watching. I was just glued. I was working, and I'm just was glued to that. It was hilarious. Molly Neox at Molly Nerd, or Molly Nerd. It might be Molly. When watching this defense dominate overmatched opponents, what indicators are you looking at that tell you this isn't going to be similar to the murder of the bad teams crushed by the good teams down Brown D of old? Really good tackling, really good pursuit. If you have those two things, and just doing your job, right? You don't have a bunch of guys just getting wildly out of position. Doing their job, really good pursuit, surefire tackling. That's all you need. And the starting defense hasn't let a new, you know, they let one team move past the 50 and then they snuffed that out. No one's scored on the starting defense so far. So those are the things. Van Ebert at Van Ebert 3. Have you heard how long McNamara's out for? I haven't. It didn't sound like it's necessarily that serious. It's serious enough to be several weeks, but not serious enough to be season ending. So there is that. Bobby Grimes at Bobby Grimes 81. I'm not gonna answer that. I deleted every other one of these. Listen, in breaking injury news, I'm not gonna do it here. I've never done it. I say it every time that there's a big player injury. I'm not breaking injury news. No, you'll notice no other site has either. It's just not something most of us are going to do. And I know you want that instant gratification of knowing exactly what's happening. And I do know exactly what's happening, at least where it stood 3 days ago. Things can change, right? We've seen that happen before of, oh, this is what's going to happen. And then this is why you let the team announce it. When the team announces it and everyone knows, then you'll know. Because you never know. Anton, I'm not going to try with your name, your last name, and your Twitter handle. You know who you are. How many quarterbacks will get a chance to play on Saturday? I'm going to say two. I don't think that it's going to be like, well, you know what? Maybe three, because I think that maybe you'll see, JJ. I think the game will get out of hand enough to see whoever the main backup is, whether it's Davis Warren or Alan Bowman. I could see some Alex Orji in there just as a, especially with JJ, they probably want to protect him. If they were thinking we're going to run it, I could see them going with Orji and trying to do that. So Jacob Palmer at Jacob_Palmer13. What is JJ's greatest strength? Arm. What do you think hasn't shown much yet, his weakness or will be? I don't know, man. He's just a playmaker. I mean, his arm strength and that's his biggest strength. And just willingness to go out there and make a play. Accuracy enough to make the play. Wasn't as accurate last year. Was super accurate so far this year. And now he knows how to read defenses. So watch out. Finishing us out in this whole shebang, this long one, as I get loopy. T. Foster at T. Foster. Does this team have a special feeling to you, like LSU a few years ago? To me, it feels like this is a team nobody wants to see, and the blowouts have to mean something, right? In the past, they let teams hang around. We'll see, man. I do feel like it has that. I do feel like it has a special air about it. But I thought the same thing. I wasn't in the media. I was a fan in 2013, you know, going into week two, coming out of week two. And then Akron happened. Now, I don't think that's going to happen with this team. But it's had a special feeling around it. And I think it's what's funny is we enter these games with the idea or just the season of like, man, the only team that's going to be able to hang around with Michigan is probably Ohio State. And we think that there's a good chance Michigan can win that game. Then you get to Maryland and it's kind of like the, oh, no. What are we going to do after? And it's not like Michigan struggled at this point. It's a funny thing. I'm guilty of it myself. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Friday with a preview. The plan at some point is to get America's Treasure, Allie Gearing. I haven't spoken to her today, so if that doesn't happen, that's on me. Anyway, we will talk to you then. Thanks for watching and or listening. Peace.